Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, November the 22nd, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us another day, another opportunity to look around us and see the fulfillment of your word. We're grateful for the strength and the endurance that you've given us. And we ask, Lord, that you will continue to guide us in every detail of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't remember for many years now, having spent as much time as I do on the weather channels, as I do during this last year, 2020. But of course, you look around you and you see that there are many things happening now, and these things are all increasing in intensity and frequency. Now, I'm using those words because those are some of the words that you find in the book Great Controversy, chapter 36. And the title of that chapter is The Impending Conflict. If you begin reading at about page 589 and paragraph 2, you'll find this. Satan works through the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. Now, of course, let me pause there to say that so often we are fascinated by the things that are happening around us. And if you listen to many people talking, they'll always come up with some sort of human source or some group of individuals or some government or something that is the one that is causing all other things to happen. But let me read that sentence for you again. Page 589, Great Controversy, paragraph 2 starts, Satan works through the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. And then the next sentence is equally revealing. It says, he has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature. And he uses all his power. Now notice that word all now. All his power to control the elements as far as God allows. And the reason why the word all is in that sentence is because of how the sentence ends. Because see, he would probably use more if God would allow him to. But the statement says he has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature and he uses all his power to control elements as far as God allows. So when you look around you and you see the things that are happening and the number of things that are crushing the society today, could be a lot worse. But for the fact that God does not allow the source to push the agenda. And too often we do not recognize that the source of the agenda seeks to destroy. And he would love to destroy in a moment. But God slows him down. Given those of us who do not trust in him, who have not yet given our hearts to him completely, an opportunity, a probationary period, if you will, to turn to him. Now, and in the same paragraph, Great Controversy, page 589 and paragraph 2, the servant of the Lord gives an example of this same kind of kindness and hold back that God does on Satan. Here's how she continues. When he was suffered to afflict Job, and you remember the story of Job, right? How quickly flocks and herds, servants, houses, children were swept away. One trouble succeeding another, as in a moment. And then the last sentence in that paragraph is so reassuring. It says, it is God that shields his creatures and hedges them in from the power of the destroyer. Now, I thought I would begin with that quote today because I wanted to look at an article found in the Jesuit Review, the American Jesuit Review. It was published on November the 20th, 2020. And the writer of the article is Kevin Clark. Here's what Kevin titles his article. The situation is just devastating. Central America left reeling from two storms in 2 weeks. The title again? The situation is just devastating. says Kevin Clark. Central America left reeling from two storms in 2 weeks. Here's a little bit of that article. Across Central America, in cities and in farming and indigenous communities, thousands of families were still digging out of the wreckage left behind by Hurricane Ira when Hurricane Iota traced essentially the same destructive path. Now that's quite a compelling statement. So you're just getting over the first storm, and all of a sudden, there comes another one right along the same track. All right? Listen to this. Its Category 4 landfall on November the 17th in Nicaragua was just 15 miles away from the spot where Eta, another Category 4 storm, had crashed ashore on November the 3rd. Its rainfall quickly flooded already saturated ground throughout the region. So you got one Category 4 on November the 3rd, and then another Category 4 on November the 17th. Continuing. David Cronin, a government affairs specialist for Catholic Relief Services in Washington, said that CRS and other humanitarian teams were still assessing the combined devastating impact that both storms had had. But it was clear on November the 20th that millions of people across Central America and into Colombia and southern Mexico were in need of assistance. The situation is just devastating, and the needs are immense, he said. Tens of thousands have lost their homes. They've lost access to clean water. They've lost their crops, Mr. Cronin said. Tens of thousands are seeking refuge in temporary shelters. A substantial response will be needed. He added, immediate needs are pretty clear. Food, water, hygiene items, mattresses, bedding. He said the relief efforts in the coming days will surely be complicated by the coronavirus pandemic. Some of those relief teams responded in Nicaragua, Honduras, and Guatemala, he said. We cannot forget the reality of COVID-19, and we cannot forget the need to prevent further transmission of COVID-19. Tens of thousands have lost their homes. Relief agencies are describing the unprecedented double strike of hurricanes Eta and Iota as the greatest humanitarian crisis in Central America in at least a generation, comparable only to the devastation wrought by Hurricane Mitch in 1998. We're running out of superlatives for this Atlantic hurricane season, Claire Nullis, a spokesman for the World Meteorological Organization, said at a United Nations news briefing in Geneva. It's record-breaking in every sense of the word. We're currently with Iota on the 30th named tropical storm. I mean, that means this year. The 30th named tropical storm this year. Ms. Nullis said that at this time of year, hurricane season should be winding down. But instead, there has been a tragic large surge. Iota is the strongest storm in the hurricane season so far to make landfall. Across the globe, as Eta and Iota were marching through Central America, the Philippines endured two of the strongest typhoons on record. Many connected the unprecedented weather events to the increasing threats engendered by climate change. Just a day after Eta made landfall, the Trump administration formally withdrew the United States from the 2015 Paris Agreement on Climate Change, a decision it had announced soon after President Trump's election. It is fair to say that climate change does play a role, said Mr. Cronin. Trends show that we are experiencing an increasing number of more powerful and more devastating storms. He notes, on one of the grand ironies of the accelerating impact of climate change, when we ask ourselves, who are these storms impacting the most? It's poor communities that have done the least to contribute to climate change. The United States has announced a $70 million in humanitarian aid so far to begin to respond to the crisis in Central America. But the CRS and other relief agencies will be seeking more, much more. One of the grand ironies of climate change, when you ask ourselves who are these storms impacting the most, it's the poor communities. We will continue to push for not only the immediate need, but for the long-term recovery needs of the communities that are most impacted, Mr. Cronin said. Humanitarian assistance and poverty eradication programs in Central America have been cut in recent years by the Trump administration. In other words, you know, and I'm sure you're aware of this, the Trump administration has cut all of this aid that goes to these people who are in serious trouble, not only from the point of view of the storms and the pestilences, but in trouble from their economies. But he's been cutting that aid. Mr. Cronin hopes the response to the double storms could signal a reversal to that trend, noting that the United States has delivered more than $1 billion in aid to other regions after Hurricane Mitch. The United States could also assist the region's recovery through a reassessment of its current immigration policy, Mr. Cronin said. Though the Trump administration has been unwilling to extend existing temporary protection status, which shields migrants from specific countries from deportation, or to create new TPS categories, he argued that position should be reconsidered in light of the dramatic conditions in Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. Our position is that returning people to these impacted countries would not only be unwise, it would be inhumane. And of course, you're aware of the fact that the U.S. government has been returning people to that part of the world. And not only have they been returning people, they've been keeping them out of the country, making sure that they stay in Mexico or in some other place. Continuing the article, it says this. These two storms were preceded by multiple years of drought in the region, he said. We're seeing extreme weather with drought on one hand and intense hurricanes on the other. And it's becoming very difficult for farmers and communities to adapt to be able to support their families and their communities. Natural disasters of this magnitude only increase the vulnerabilities that lead to migration, he says. Push factors out of the region obviously include violence and a lack of economic opportunity, he said. But increasingly, climate has been playing a major role, especially among the region's indigenous subsistence farmers. We need to look to the root cause of what's driving migration, Mr. Cronin says. And to address those humanely, to address those issues justly, and to work together with the communities who are impacted to find solutions to allow them the opportunity to thrive in their home communities rather than being forced to migrate to the United States. Now of course, you know, I need to pause here for a minute to make this very clear. I don't know if you understand what happens when these people decide that they are going to leave their country. I mean, it's one thing to immigrate to another country, to make an application, to get a passport, to buy a ticket, to get rid of your property at home, to sell it, or whatever, and then drive up to the airport, get on a plane and fly to another country and decide that you're going to start a life there. You've taken a look at some of the opportunities that you might have in the new land. It's another thing entirely to have nothing in the country that you're coming from, to walk out of wherever it is you're staying in a shed or something and walk a couple thousand miles that is going to take you a number of weeks in order to accomplish that on foot. To cross desert places and not sure at all about how you're going to subsist and if you're going to get something to eat on your way as you're traveling, but you're hoping that when you get to the southern border of the United States of America, you might be able to find a way to get across that border. I quite often stop and think about what these people are thinking at the time. And it has to be that their minds are filled with the frustration and the pointlessness of their lives and their desire to find a better way to live. When you see these people at the border, you don't see them there with traveling suitcases and airline tickets and all kinds of packages and bags that they're bringing with them. It's just them. It's just them. It's all that they have. And they're hoping that whatever it is on the other side of that border is going to be better than what it is where they're coming from. But of course, there are those who have no compassion. And who have not the slightest idea as to how to deal with these individuals. Perhaps there are many people today in this country who've forgotten where they have come from and what caused them to come in the first place and the uncertainty of their arrival when they first arranged here. Not them necessarily, but their grandfathers and their great-grandfathers who came here originally without any particular arrangement made with anybody to stay anywhere or any job. They just came. I would suggest to you that it is easy to forget that. After you have established a corporation or a company, if you bought a few houses and a few cars and now you are a citizen, it is easy to forget. But what is even more intense here is that what I've just been describing as happening in South America is ultimately going to crawl across the entire world. That kind of intensity of famines and storms and tornadoes and floods and hurricanes is slowly covering the entire continent. Continuing to read for you from Great Controversy, page 589, and this time this is paragraph 3 I'm reading from. Listen to this. While appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he, Satan, will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. Disease? Disaster? Yeah. Yeah. So now all of a sudden you're seeing that's the source of COVID-19. It's not somebody who wants to make some money, not somebody who's developed, as so many people seem to be thinking, somebody who's developed some sort of war disease, you know, so that they can make some money out of their pills and their vaccines. But the he that is referred to in Great Controversy, page 589 in paragraph 3, is not some rich dude on the United States of America. The he being referred to here is Satan, the same Satan. The same Satan that appears to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies. He will bring disease and disasters until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. And now the quote continues. It says, even now he is at work in accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, Californian fires, maybe, in fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms, in tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes. In every place and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest and famine and distress follow. And now here's some COVID-19 coming up. He imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. And I'm sure that the vaccine will help in some cases. But the vaccine is not the solution for the pestilence. And I just want to say that again, the vaccine is going to be, if at all, it is going to be a solution for our absorption of the pestilence, but it doesn't remove the pestilence. In other words, you don't spray the vaccine in the air. You spray the vaccine in the body, and hopefully it will protect you from the pestilence in the air. But how does the pestilence get in the air? He, Satan, imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. And then comes a serious warning that you and I need to take this morning. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. Now that's what the quote says. And I'm still reading from Great Controversy. I think that alarm that just passed by is very, very well timed. I didn't set that up. Okay. Great Controversy, page 589 in paragraph 3 says, these visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. More disastrous than it is right now, with almost the whole place shut down, and more frequent. You just had the first phase in March and you're coming back to a second phase. And I'm not even sure whether this is a second phase or the same phase. Huh? These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. Destruction will be upon both man and beast. And then what she does here is quotes Isaiah 24, verses 4 and 5. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The haughty people do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have, comma, transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. That's Isaiah 24, verses 4 and 5. Maybe in the future we will come back to talk about the transgressing of the law and the changing of the ordinance. That would be worthwhile looking at. Today I want to warn you that what we are seeing here is just the beginning. You and I must be ready for what is to come. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn us day by day. We recognize that without you we can do nothing. We ask, Lord, that you would fill us with understanding, that we might be willing to stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, November the 22nd, 2020.